You know, everybody I talk to says, you know, I have to turn off the news. I can't read anything. I'm meditating. I'm doing yoga. I'm so anxious. I just don't even know. I'm eating gummies, all kinds of things, you know. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Not eating gummies.
Didn't she,
okay,
she put people in jail for that?
But
didn't
how,
she?
You know,
well, like the smoking what was in the gummies, right?
Yeah,
that's what I thought. So, yeah, I don't really think that that's going to, I don't really think that she can really admit to that. I don't, so she did an interview with Maria Shriver, and she was sitting there with Liz Cheney. And I don't know who exactly they're supposed to be trying to go for. I'm trying to understand the segment of voters that Liz Cheney is hoping to get, right? Who is the Liz Cheney voter? Do I want to know? Like, who is the voter that's like, you know what? I really need to know who Liz Cheney's voting for. I don't know. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this first hour. And apparently today, Kamala Harris has the day off. She has the day off, ladies and gentlemen.
From what?
Campaigning, I guess. Okay. I don't want to say vice presidenting because she's not really doing that. I really don't know what she's taking the day off from. If there was an asteroid coming to Earth and it was dependent upon me answering you what she's taking a day off of, I wouldn't have an answer and we'd all be dead. I don't know. I don't know literally at all what, I don't get it. I don't know. So she's taking the day. Is Eminem actually introducing Barack Obama in Michigan today? Hold up.
They're hurting.
Golly. They're going to bring out that guy. It looks like he had like an eyelash place map his facial hair. Does that mean to say? Because they mean it. I mean, it's just a truthful observation. So I'm going to give you the lay of the land today. I got some more polling just to kind of throw out. Again, it is just, it is a guide. It's a guidebook. I've had a lot of people go, but Dana, this poll. And then you guys, and I love you to death, but you guys, some of you, not all of you, you guys are very passionate. Some of you get very, very worked up over one poll. Like, one poll. Well, I'm going to wait and get into it because I got a bunch of stuff. There's another one poll that folks were sending at me today, and it's like +9 Democrat sampled. I'm like, no, we're not doing this. So I'm going to break that down because I had a couple of you send me that. It was like the first thing I saw this morning. I'm like, wait a minute. Why are you up this early looking at this stuff? Stop it. Let's stop it. Let me freak out over the not entirely accurate prognosticators. So we've got a really crazy article from The Hill that ran. Well, I read it last night. It published yesterday afternoon. Would you like to hear what it's titled? Would you like to hear? Because, Kane, I think you'll really enjoy this one.
Yeah.
The title of this headline is, I'm not kidding you, what if Joe Biden was the better candidate all along?
That's not good.
Guys, I think they're having buyer's remorse. I'm not going to lie. Full stop. I don't know why I'm looking around. I'm like in the studio, like nobody's here except you guys. I really enjoy this. I really enjoy watching them freak out. I can't tell you how gratifying it is. And I don't want to get within an inch of sin with the Schadenfreude because we know what New Testament says about that. But y'all, I'm telling you, when I read headlines like this, I just want to cackle and rub my hands together like a vaudeville villain. It's amazing. They are freaking out. They realize, my gosh, we gambled wrong. Oh my gosh. They're freaking out right now. No matter what, and I saw one garbage poll that came out today, and they were trying to say Kamala Harris has had a 20-point sweep and whatnot. Nobody cares. That poll's garbage. It's close. I think they're tied in virtually every battleground state. And I know that you're like, but Dana, RCP average has Trump like 0.3 here. But again, margin of error. You got to be above margin of error. Got to be above it. So we're going to get into all of that stuff. We're going to get into all of the surveys today. We're going to get into voting. And we're also going to talk about how the media is now talking about how the right is mad at the media for freaking out over the McDonald's story. I had Yeah, that's right. If you, and I know Kane's seen these headlines. I know you guys have seen these headlines. We're not alone in this. You know, we're not alone. We are like, it's, we've seen, I mean, I had a ton, I wrote about this. I was sharing you with you, and you guys got, you guys who are signed up at Substack, the newsletter, you literally see this stuff. I include the headlines in it. So you're seeing how the media is, man, oh my gosh, what do you mean? One story that I had, I'm pulling this up right now because they're very, very upset. And they were, there was headline after headline yesterday. The McDonald's stop was smart and here's why is the headline for this. And it was a smart thing. It was a very smart thing. And the media is apoplectic over it. For instance, the New York Times has really tried hard. They've tried very, very hard to run defense. So they, this is the paragraph that they had. And again, if you're a subscriber to my Substack, you got this, ladies and gentlemen. Again, welcome. Happy Tuesday. Top of this first hour. It said they could actually prove her work experience. New York Times writes, quote, Ms. Harris's campaign said that she was an employee of the McDonald's on Central Avenue in Alameda, California, in 1983, during the summer after her freshman year at Howard University, working the cash register, the French fry station, and the ice cream machine. That's why it's always broken. It has provided little information beyond that, including how long she worked there. The campaign did not make mention, did not make any of Ms. Harris's friends or family members available, but the New York Times interviewed a friend who had known Ms. Harris as a teenager, remained in touch with the family. Wanda Kagan said she recalled Harris having worked at McDonald's around that time. So they said Donald Trump claimed without evidence that Ms. Harris never worked at the fast food chain. Her campaign and a friend said she did. So Trump, let's just play this very clinically. Trump claims something without evidence, says the Times. And Harris claims something without evidence, says the Times. But Harris has to be believed at face value and Trump does not. Wow. I wonder why people hate the press. Gee, it's such a mystery. By golly, I hope we crack it at some point in our lifetimes. That's how the game is played. That's what they're doing. They're saying, oh, well, Trump claims something without any kind of evidence. And Harris claims something without evidence. God believe Harris. Oh, are they doing believe all women again? Can we, okay, can I weasel in here for a minute and bring up the women that Imhoff slapped? Is it possible? Nope, that door's shut. Now we're not believing all women again. Wait a minute, what? No, we're only believing all women right here just for this. Then it's over. It seems really situational, doesn't it? Like we're only going to believe all women if those women are named Kamala Harris and those women are claiming that they once worked at McDonald's in 1983. Otherwise, damn them women. We're not believing them. Democrats are a circus. It's like watching this world's lamest circus ever. It's just greatly amusing. So they're still going on about this. But this is like way this is so much more than just McDonald's. Because retail politics, it's a gift, and not every politician has it, right? And I'm going to give credit where it's due, even if I want to choke to death before I do it. But, you know, there it is. Bill Clinton had it. Barack Obama had it. Hillary Clinton W had it. Hillary Clinton did not have it, okay? Mitt Romney did not have it. John McCain did not have it. Trump has it in spades. Whether you like him or not, that's irrelevant to the fact that he's very, very good at doing these like one-on-one stops, right? He's quite good at it. He's good at doing the stops. And this stop was perfectly managed. It was perfectly managed, perfectly executed. But here's the thing. Kamala Harris is bitching because she got outmaneuvered at a place that she claimed that she worked at. I would have, if I was her, I would have been at the McDonald's at the fry station, like from the second that there was even a quirky expression on a conservative's face, I would have been at the McDonald's. I would have been working them fries. I wouldn't have just gone to that McDonald's. I'd have probably popped up at another one too. I would have preempted this immediately. But she is lazy. She's lazy. Don't sit here and tell me that she's like all about achievement because I ain't never seen nobody so damn lazy in my life. How are you getting outmaneuvered like this? Everything that you've gotten has been handed to you on a silver platter. You want to talk about privilege? Look at Kamala Harris's career. Privilege, nepotism, and favor. That's all it is. That's the thing. For all the talk about fries, and only one candidate made this a central issue, by the way. Only one candidate made this a central issue. She did, because she didn't just claim that she worked there once. She made it like a focal point when she was trying to cosplay as an average everyday person. I mean, she could have showed up and beaten Trump to the punch, but she didn't. I mean, if you believe her work experience claims, this was a really stupidly missed viral moment for Democrats. By the way, all she would have to, she's yelling at Trump to release his tax records. Why don't you just release your Social Security records proving that you work there? Because Social Security, I mean, FICA and all that stuff, it's going to claim it. It's going to go all the way back. So it doesn't matter if McDonald's, these people are like, I didn't keep pay stubs. Shut up. You also aren't out there on the presidential on the campaign trail claiming that you're an everyman by citing work experience that probably doesn't exist. Because she would have immediately been like, here's my, you know, there would have been a screenshot of something. But she can't because she never worked there. I mean, it's kind of hard to recreate something that was never created to begin with. Oh, but her campaign and some like friend said that she did something or whatever. I guess she's got to be believed. But that's the thing. I mean, it would have been so easy for her to do this. And she didn't do it. And she's mad that Trump did. I mean, look at the whole thing. The guy that was teaching Trump how to do the fries. I mean, he was enjoying all of this as much as Trump was. Imagine being the guy that's like, yeah, I trained the former president, maybe next president, on how to do fries. God bless America, right? That's amazing that you can do that. This is not just about seasoning fries at McDonald's. It's about the battle over the blue-collar middle-class voter. It's about the battle over America. Democrats are hemorrhaging voters from this demo, but they have no solutions to stop the bleed. You know, Trump didn't just go to any restaurant. He went to a McDonald's because Kamala Harris said she worked there. The 1-in-8 rule, right? Everybody knows a McDonald's. It's a heritage fast food icon. He didn't just go to any McDonald's. He went to a McDonald's in Pennsylvania, a battleground state, where they got it. Each of them have to get 270. Both of them need it. And the media can downplay this at its peril. McDonald's not going to run away from this. This is free advertising for them. This cements them as the number one burger chain in America because it's so iconic. It's now a focal point of a presidential election as a proxy for blue class voters, for blue collar voters. But the biggest thing is that Trump showed up in his suit doing Trump, puts his apron on, right? He doesn't try to cosplay as the everyman. But he wasn't like looking down on anybody either. And this whole thing telegraphed that this job was important enough to show up. It was important enough to take seriously. That this and every job has dignity. That's not what Democrats and Marxism teach. Only leaning on the government is where the dignity is. This completely destroys that. And meanwhile, you had that line cook who was watching patiently over Trump's shoulder as he was salting those fries, guiding him on the next steps. Only in America. Patriot Mobile, it's the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is in existence, and they want to save you money. They want to save you money in a couple of different ways. First off, you can get a free month of service right now when you call 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana, and you can get free activation using code Dana. They're also going to make sure that you have a tailor-made plan for what it is you need. Families of all sizes, singles, dinks, businesses, doesn't matter. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team that make it easy to switch. And you're supporting U.S.-based jobs as well. But your money is not going towards any kind of political effort that undermines how you vote. And that is supremely important as well. And you get great service. You get the best service on all the major networks. So you're getting, you know, you're not funding the left and you're getting constantly connected. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by the pretenders. Only work with the original. Switch to patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT. Get your free month of service today.
The supermarket doesn't lie. Latest reports show more people are changing where they're buying their groceries. Heading to box stores like Walmart goes to show that food and energy prices have yet to go down.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A biblical omen was uncovered in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. A man walking through the wreckage uncovered a Bible attached to a metal post in the yard of a home that had been destroyed. It was open to Book of Revelation, chapter 14 to 15, discusses how people will be punished and perish through a series of great disasters and destructions. It doesn't explain the manner, but some people are convinced that it means this. That would be like really, dang. They said that, it was stuck to the pole just like that. Cain's over here going, yup. This is why I got tinfoil, Dana. Oh, man. Heaven's alive. Let's see here. I really don't want to make fun of the dude with the Conway U Twitty here, but it is funny. Cuban power grid collapses for the fourth time as hurricane arrives. I'm in Cuba. Good heavens. Poor people. Hurricane Oscar. His arrival to Cuba Sunday impacted millions of residents already gone days without power after going without days without power because it is Marxist and they just are without power. But they said in the capital city of Havana early Monday, people were seen outdoors in poor lighting and people playing dominoes to kill the time. People were sleeping outside to cool off because I'm sure it's super hot inside. And they said power had been restored to 88% of the customers in Havana by Monday, the city's government said on X. But throughout the rest of the country, it looks like it's down. So it'll be up in a couple of years, right? I mean, you know, communism. Kamalaomics. Empty tables and rising costs are pushing many restaurants into bankruptcy. It is hard for restaurants right now. Red Lobster and many others are... Well, Red Lobster, wasn't it the all-you-can-eat shrimp fest? That's what did them. That's what they said. But now there's like a couple of other these restaurants that are closing because, well, everything's more expensive. It's not, everything is super expensive. A 3-year-old German mini Picasso makes a splash in the art world. Kane says it's a great way to launder money. 3-year-old Laurent Schwarz is a toddler who paints and everyone's like, oh my gosh, he's so great. And I don't get it. I don't get it. Like really, he's a mini Picasso. I mean, I think I could do this. But, you know, I'm not, it's I guess, special because he's a German toddler. I don't know. Stick with us. We got more in store. Polling. People who make it to where you don't have to pay a subscription. Our friends over at ReadyWise are always ready, even if you are not. And ReadyWise has delicious premium survival food. More important than ever, if you've, you know, seen any of the headlines about natural disasters, to take charge of your own safety and well-being. Hurricane Helene, Hurricane Milton, you need ReadyWise food so you're prepared for anything, making sure that your family always has food, always has something. They have a 72-hour food kit. Buy one, get $100 in value for $50. And it includes 2 boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food. You get your entrees, breakfast, drinks, everything. And these are like great tasting meals. You get 260 calories 6 grams of protein with each pack, 20% of your daily carbs. It's comfort in a crisis and beyond. 25-year shelf life. This is your essential gear. U.S. ingredients packed in a U.S. plant. You know the chain of command. Perfect for emergencies, even camping trips if you want. My grandpa used to take Spam and tea every time he went. He wouldn't have loved to have this. Make sure that you order yours and get set up. You don't ever want to be caught off guard. ReadyWise is ready when you're not. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off your whole purchase. That's ReadyWise.com. Promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you at the bottom of this first hour. Find us on Substack, also Channel 347, DirecTV, and you can find us on Rumble X. Rumble's where the discussion happens, all kinds of good stuff. So the polling that's out right now, it's tight. I'm not going to lie. It's very close. And it's really, I think, only Trump's to lose. I think that there is enough for him to beat her, particularly in battleground states, looking at Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, North Carolina, and Georgia. Trump is up, but he is within the margin of error in every single one of these states. It is super close. Only 0.8 estimated lead in Pennsylvania, 0.4 even smaller in Wisconsin, 0.5 in North Carolina. His biggest assumed lead was in, I think it was in maybe Georgia. So, I mean, looking at this, pulling up some of the averages, and there's a number of different aggregates. His biggest lead as of October 22nd is Georgia, and that's today. Georgia, it's 2.5. So it's still within margin of error, but that's the one where he has some of the most momentum. And I think that he has momentum still in Pennsylvania. I do believe that that will probably increase. And so as it is right now, when you're looking at the toss-up states, I mean, you've got Nevada, Arizona, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Georgia. Georgia Always, people think that, oh, it's Georgia, it's Southern, it must be hillbilly country. No. That's a toss-up state. Like, people don't realize. You know, you've got your reliable reds, your likely reds, and your lean reds. They're trying to make Texas lean red, and it's real close with Cruz and Allred. Colin Allred, I don't even know how this guy can even be. I mean, the guy's completely just not. Just because you can run for elected office doesn't mean you're fit for elected office. But in these, the Electoral College map right now, if you exclude the toss-ups, it's Harris-Waltz 215, Trump-Vance 219 for the Electoral College map, right? I mean, remember, you got to have 270. For no toss-ups, if you assume that these toss-up states go red, it's 226 Harris-Waltz, 312 Trump-Vance. But I don't think all these toss-ups are going to go red. I don't think that they will. I think that in some of them, I Michigan is a tough sell. Michigan is hard because it's dear. You got, you know, big Dearbornistan block up there. But Trump is, he's got a 1.2 lead. In Pennsylvania, it's real tight. Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Nevada are his closest. And out of all those three, it's North Carolina. But the battleground, and this is why I think if the RNC, and I'll be honest, if the RNC had, I think, engaged a little earlier, I think that the spread would be wider. But, you know, we can always talk about the what ifs after the fact, right? Now, in this, looking at I'm going to bring up this poll because a lot of people were asking me about this. It was a MSNBC thing that apparently Morning Joe was tweeting out, and it said, oh goodness, here's, you know, this is your Associated Press new survey, Kamala Harris, her favorability. It was on favorability, which not necessarily is a poll of, you know, registered voters and who they're going to go for, but it was Kamala Harris's favorable, unfavorable, 51 to 46. Tim Walz favorable to unfavorable, 41 to 37. Trump's favorable to unfavorable, 40 to 58. Vance's 33 to 48. So the problem with this survey, though, and they were also trying to say that it was somehow translated to it was just as good as the survey. It isn't. And when you find this, and I had to hunt this down. Because he didn't provide the link of it, a link for it at all. It ended up being buried like on their website, but it was likely voters, not even registered voters, and they were asked about favorability, not whom they would vote for, and it was oversampled by +9, meaning you have like, I mean, it's weighted, it's heavily weighted towards in favor of Democrats, and so obviously you're going to have. If you're asking a sample size that's +9 over Republicans about the favorability of a Republican president or Republican nominee versus a Democrat, I mean, obviously you're going to get a more favorable response for the Democrat. That's just obvious. This is what I'm talking about with some of these manufactured surveys. And a lot of them, like this one, you had to really run it down because he didn't want to include any of the links. They didn't want to go over any crosstabs, anything like that. And I don't think that that's the lay of the land. I don't think that Harris has a wild lead. I really don't. And the reason I don't believe that is something that I touched on yesterday, because if you look at a number of these Senate races, the Senate is projected to go red. And there are people like Tammy Baldwin who are Democrat incumbents who should not be in positions where they are so unbelievably close to the Republican challenger. And the only reason that that is happening is because of a phenomenon that's explained by a weak top ticket. That's it. The weakness at the top of the ticket translates down ticket. This was something that plagued Barack Obama in his first term. He was mocked by the conservative press for not having any coattails, and it was correct. In fact, people like Claire McCaskill during Barack Obama's first term, they were declining politely campaign appearances with him. When Claire McCaskill was running for elected office, she didn't really want to do any campaign events with Barack Obama because Barack Obama was considered an anchor on any kind of momentum in a race, and it was a very close contested race that she was in with the late Todd Akin. So he struggled with this. I think one of the only people who didn't, Clinton never struggled with it and W never really struggled with it. And I was really young when, you know, H.W. Bush was in office. So I don't really remember too much, except he only had one term and he wasn't incredibly popular even within the right. And Mitt Romney was also kind of an anchor. Not as much as Barack Obama was in his first term, though. But, you know, time heals all wounds. And now he can raise money because he looks like this elder statesman and people don't need him for favors, or they don't, you know, they're not worried about him, you know, or enacting revenge. So I don't know. But she is a drag. She's a drag. And so they are not. It's one of the other reasons why you don't see her doing a lot of fundraisers with other candidates. And I find this incredibly weird with this cycle. Like, Trump will do fundraisers with other Republicans that are running for office. Like, he will come to an area and then the people that he has on stage with him are running for re-election. You don't see Kamala Harris doing that. She'll do campaign appearances where she just brings in surrogates that are stalwarts on the left, but she's not out there fundraising for other candidates. You haven't seen her out there doing anything with Tammy Baldwin. You haven't seen her out there doing anything with Sherrod Brown. You haven't seen her out there doing anything with a number of other of these, you know, these Democrats that need money and they need a bump, and she's not able to give it because she is really unpopular. And they're freaking out. They're freaking out. And I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that happen before in a campaign. She just doesn't know how to campaign. And her people that she has doing her campaign, it's one of two things. They either don't know how to campaign or they don't know how to campaign her. They don't know how to manage her. She is a deeply unqualified candidate, not just in accomplishments, but in demeanor, in tone. She has no political acumen. She can't read the room. And if anything, even above the stuff that you would put on paper, you got to be able to read the room. You have to be able to have some kind of political acumen that you can judge correctly what moves you need to make. And she doesn't have that instinct. She doesn't. It's why she looks ridiculous. Tim Walz doesn't have it either. Joe Biden in his younger days had some, but he was kind of dumb. He was kind of a bimbo. He was a mean, angry, misogynistic bimbo. He was, is. I don't give him a pass because he's a senile old papa now. I mean, you know, he's never rectified or reconciled with his history. But this, they're freaking out and they're talking about cracks in the blue wall and they don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how, I mean, in Michigan particularly is what they're looking at. I noticed Kane put this in Slack that the Michigan mayor, Amir Gharib, had presented Trump with a certificate of appreciation. They're the only Muslim majority city in the U.S., interesting, but they're freaking out. They notice that most of their concerns are in Michigan, where they said that they have warning signs in North Carolina. They said that North Carolina seems to be the one that's slipping away with them the most. It would still be a big get, and it's still a possibility for them to get. But one of the problems is that black voting is down in North Carolina, according to some of the early counts. It's not, and I'm looking at politicsnc.com, and it's a Democrat strategist, and they're saying that the black turnout is way down in North Carolina, and that this is a major issue of concern. That's the other thing. In Georgia, it's the same thing. I was looking at some of the discussion on Georgia, and it's not that there's a number of voters that are just not, they're not turning up, and they're not going to. It's not that they're going to not vote for Kamala Harris. They're just not going to go out. They're not going to vote. That's the reality of the situation. And they got a real problem with that right now. It's a real problem. And they're seeing it particularly in North Carolina. I'm looking at some of this. They said that it wasn't super huge in 2020. They don't think it's going to outperform. But they said that some of it's Hurricane Helene. They said that certain counties like Buncombe County is down. Buncombe is down 3,000 votes from the same in-person voting period in 2020. Another county is down by a few hundred. Yancey and Mitchell are down by 20%. Madison's down by 10%. There's some that are up by like almost 1,000. Like Haywood County is up by 1,200 votes. But that's, you know, early voting just started today in Texas, or started yesterday, sorry, in Texas. And we're actually voting later this week. And we've got, you know, one of our college kids coming in back into town to early vote because I don't trust the mail-in ballot stuff. When my oldest son, his first election, he had to vote mail-in ballot. And it took like 2 weeks for that ballot to get in. And it took like another week for it to be counted. And I'm just not even messing with it. It's ridiculous. And he was like hours away. So it's a big pain in the ass. but it's a privilege, and you want to make sure it counts. I just think that we need a national holiday, maybe a 2-day if need be, maybe put it on a weekend, something. But, you know, the mail-in ballot, we've already been getting warnings from, what is it, some of the United States Postal Service and others who were saying that, oh, it's maybe everything may be behind. It's so dumb. But this in North Carolina is a struggle. It's going to be a struggle for them. Trump is spending another day in North Carolina. Obviously the campaign knows that they need to shore up the fight in North Carolina. So he's been really focusing on Pennsylvania and North Carolina. Democrats have had an inordinate amount of attention on Georgia, but now it's like, oh, I think they're realizing that they've been gambling wrong. And North Carolina, with that hurricane, that didn't do Democrats any favors. It did not do them any favors at all. So I don't know. It's and then Michigan, some people are saying she'll probably win Michigan, 15 electoral votes in Michigan. She's still competitive there, but Trump is right on her heels. And it's very, I mean, it's very a huge possibility that he could happen. He cracked the blue wall in 2016. That's what happened to Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton collapsed because he broke through the blue wall in 2020. Wasn't so lucky. But now this is different. You got a new candidate. So, but it's close. It is close. I want to look at one of the things we're going to look at here coming up too are some of these. I keep talking about them, and I've mentioned a few of them, some of the Senate and the House races. The House is actually in danger. This is actually what I'm most worried about, is the state of the power of the purse, because the Senate is all well and good, but the House, especially if you don't take the White House, or especially if you have a weak Senate, you've got to keep control of the House. If we had not had control of the House these past couple of years, I don't think you'd recognize this country, and you'd be broke. It would, economically, it would be far more disastrous than it already is. And now we're slated. It's not looking great. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, because for all the discussion at the top of the ticket, you got to look at some of these other races. And then you got to ask, wait a minute, is what you were saying about Kamala Harris and coattails, could that be true about congressional races? And this is where we get into the problem of split ticket voting that the short-sighted RNC has done nothing to fix. If I have one major kick-ass beef with the RNC, it's that. They have done nothing to address open primaries. They have done nothing to address split ticket voting. Idaho's getting ready to change their primary system. They got a proposition that they're considering, and they're taking ads out on our podcast and all kinds of stuff. They're trying to push people into voting to change their state constitution to mess up their primary system, mess up how they vote, doing the ranked voting, which is idiotic and completely not how you would do it in a republic. But progressives are trying to tell Idahoans that people in Idaho that this is what you got to do. I mean, there's a lot at stake here. We got to talk about all of it as we move. Black Rifle Coffee. See, I don't need a robot making my coffee. I don't need a robot doing any of that stuff. I just need good coffee. Clearly, I've had a lot today. I've had maybe one more cup than I normally do. I had the Silencer Smooth today. By the way, that I believe is part of the, it is, it's part of the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. So if you love coffee, you can get their sampler kit. It's a lineup of their classic Black Rifle Coffee Company blends. So you get 4-ounce bags of, like, all my favorites, AK-47 Espresso, the Beyond Black, the Just Black, the Silencer Smooth, which I had a lot of today. Every flavor is amazing. It comes in this cool blue box. It's a great gift for people who like coffee. Now, it's available exclusively in ground texture. You can get all of these blends in a whole bean K-cup, ready to drink, like, pretty much like whichever medium you would like. And you can join the coffee club. You choose your roast, your frequency of shipment, and it shows up to your front porch with free shipping. So you're saving money, you're saving time, and you're never going to run out of coffee. It is a veteran-owned coffee company. They employ veterans in active duty, and they're all about giving props to American culture and our military as well. You need to experience outstanding flavor and aroma at blackriflecoffee.com. Order yourself the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. Get 20% off with code Dana. 20% off. Code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
A presidential song for anyone. One Nation Under a Groove by Funkadelic. One Nation Under a Groove. getting down just for the funk of it. Can I get it on the... Ah!
That's what my nightmares sound like. It's what my nightmares sound like. How you doing P-Funk like that? You know George Clinton follows me on X. He's one of my like favorite. Boy George does also. And so does Big Boy. Some of my favorite follows. I have no idea, but I don't know. Maybe it's because I said that one of my first CDs I ever purchased with my own money was a P-Funk album. I did. Stop. And I don't know. Maybe it's that. Maybe he likes gun stuff. I don't know. But I love it. Why are you going to do P-Funk like that? Don't be singing it like that. No. Welcome back to the program. Kamala Harris. They're in a bad way, man. They're freaking out. We got to talk about the stress that they got. Also, I'm sure y'all seen this video of a ballot that was changed digitally to vote for Harris when the dude was voting for Trump. This was in the county I live in, which is Republican run. What's happening there? We're going to talk about all of that more coming up our second hour. Stick with us. If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours or only have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is that Relief Factor makes that easy. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. It's a unique formula of ingredients that helps support your body's response to inflammation. And Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free, and for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. Chris, my husband, raves about Relief Factor. So whether you're a cyclist, a hiker, you know, an athlete from your college days or high school, maybe you're just active now, Relief Factor supports inflammation reduction and joint health. Try it today. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. See in how just a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain, and then you feel better, and then life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
You're not, unfortunately. We have some predetermined questions, and I hopefully I'll be able to ask some of the questions that might be in your head. I hope so.
Oh, so the town hall that Kamala Harris was at was staged because all of the questions were predetermined and no one could organically ask a question that Kamala Harris's campaign had not yet vetted nor prepared for. Wow. That sounds like a stunt. That sounds like it was staged. That's what it sounds like. You know,
it's a town hall.
It's a town hall, but it's a staged town hall, Kane. Staged town hall. Way different.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the top of the second hour. And I had to bring that up, and I felt it necessary to bring that up because we have been hearing quite a lot about stunts and staged events, have we not? I mean, you all know what you've seen in the press. There's been a lot of discussion, a lot, about staged events, about stunts and about tricks and all kinds of stuff. I mean, that's what people were fuming over Trump's McDonald's stop. I mean, the media is apoplectic still. Brian Stelter has been on X all morning long. Yes, the tater himself. All morning long on X, decrying conservatives who have been saying that the press seized on, pounced on, has been frothing over this story and complaining about it. And he said, no, 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 conservatives are making up just so they can say the media is complaining about it. I mean, I dare say, I mean, I saw no fewer than 20-something headlines about it just yesterday alone. And those were all new. Those weren't even the Sunday that it happened. Just saying, very important. But this is organic. This is organic, but it's not. She has to call on Audio Soundbite 8 pre-selected reporters, because heaven forbid she, you know, gets one that her questions, she hasn't vetted the question. Listen.
We're going to go to Colleen at the AP.
Hi, Madam Vice President. Do you think that Republican voters, and specific women voters, will be more likely to vote for you because of the fall of Roe?
I'm telling you, It's all so very interesting. Very, very interesting. Audio soundbite 15. AOC is livid still. She's one of the people very upset over that McDonald's visit. Still. All these flavors. And she chooses salty. 15.
Donald Trump putting on a little McDonald's costume because he thinks that's what people do.
That's what they do.
They're not trying to empathize with us. They are making fun of us. They are making fun of us. Donald Trump thinks that people who work at McDonald's are a joke. Elon Musk thinks that dangling money in front of a working person is a cute thing to do.
Oh, but okay, I can't get through the rest of this. What the hell do you think your policies are? Oh my gosh, the irony is so thick you'll choke to death on it. What do you think Democrat policies are? The irony of being a Democrat, a Marxist Democrat, standing up on the stage and accusing someone like Elon Musk of dangling money in front of the working man. What the hell do you think you're doing with your $20,000 to buy a house? What the hell do you think you're doing with your money towards certain working class people of a specific skin color? What do you think that you're doing when you sit here and you try to bait people with crypto, or you try to give people entitlements, or you want to pay taxpayer-funded trans surgeries, taxpayer-funded elective abortions, money, free college? What the hell do you think that was? Free college education that you're marketing that actually the working class pays for, that you're lying and saying is for the working class, but the same people that you're saying that would take advantage of it are actually the only ones paying for it because it's all going to your grad school stooges. I mean, the irony of getting up there and saying that while you have just patented dangling cash in front of working people when you're taking it out of their back pocket. I mean, it's truly stunning. The fact that certain people in this country in 2024 lack such a self-awareness when there's so many ways to develop it within oneself is truly just chef's kiss. It really is. And the apron, you realize that they all wear aprons at McDonald's, right? That if it's not a uniform, then it's an apron. The former president was wearing an apron because that's what one does. Tell me that you don't know anything about the working class without telling me you don't know anything about the working class. He puts on she called it a costume. Is that what she thinks uniforms are? Costumes? I guess she was fortunate in that when she was slinging drinks at whatever, you know, dive bar in Manhattan, that she didn't have to wear a uniform. But I dare say that it's not cosplay. And by the way, if it was so serious and such a thing to be celebrated and respected, then pray tell, why didn't you show up? Why didn't your candidate show up? She was the one who made a big deal, if you want to talk about a costume, of putting on the McDonald's uniform, or saying that she did back in 1983 without any shred of evidence. And yes, this is the time when if you're going to use that as a way to to diminish your very privileged background and make it seem like you're more of the people, and that you make a big deal out of it, not once, not twice, not three times, but several times, and you make it actually kind of a focus of your campaign, then yeah, you don't get to act offended when someone says, prove it. You don't get to act upset when someone says, oh, you've said repeatedly that you've worked at McDonald's. McDonald's can't provide any evidence. The New York Times didn't find anything. Now, we all know, and I can tell who on X works and who doesn't. And I can tell all the progressives that are defending this, and they're saying, well, I didn't keep pay stubs from whatever, my first job. Oh, that's precious. Have you heard of a thing called Social Security? I mean, tell me that you've never worked without telling me you've never worked. So I'm basically talking to people on welfare who have enough money to probably have the newest Apple phone and are on X all day, lamenting the fact that Kamala Harris is being asked to prove the things that she's claiming on the campaign trail. Quel horror. But Social Security actually tracks all of this. You know, you have to take stuff out for FICA. They're tracking all of this. They know whether or not you've worked at McDonald's or not. And I just think, you know, it's probably not such a big deal for Kamala Harris to provide a screenshot stating such. I mean, that would shut everybody up immediately. But, you know, what she could have done, too, she could have just gone to a McDonald's. She could have preempted Trump. Anyone from a mile away could have seen this coming. You knew he was going to do this, but she just, she's got the day off today. Didn't Trump remark on this, Kane?
Yes.
Yeah, let's get that ready. Because she, I don't know what, she took the day off today. I mean, it's only like less than 2 weeks out from the election. She needs a break. Is she going to go to Biden's Delaware Beach house? I mean, where does one like Kamala Harris go when she wants to take a day off? She's got a day off from campaigning, guys. Yeah, this is what Trump had to say about it.
I was going to hit her really hard on the trail today, but now I don't have to because she's off. She's off. No, I can't get over it. Who the hell takes off? You have 14 days left. And she'll take a couple of more days off, too. You know why? She's lazy as hell, and she's got that reputation. She's a radical left lunatic. She's further left than Bernie Sanders or Pocahontas. Now, Pocahontas, because I think, is Pocahontas, Rick, is Pocahontas further left than Bernie? Just about, right? It's close. It's close. Who the hell cares, right? Rick says, yeah, I don't know. But they're out there. But she's the furthest left.
He's at the Doral in Florida, and they're holding, it was a Latino, like round table or summit, where he's talking with voters out there. And, why do you have to take the day off? Who does that? 2 weeks out from an election. Bruce Springsteen is headlining. She's having a big rally in Atlanta. Bruce Springsteen is headlining. Jeez. Here's where I'm torn. I'm not going to be ignorant to you just because you have a different opinion than I do. You can be wrong, and you are completely free to be so wrong. I may express concern when your horrible logic imperils you or your family, and I may, you know, possibly offer a, you know, maybe suggest an alternative. Just suggest. But I'm not going to hate you. I'm not going to judge you. Well, I will. I'm going to judge you for being wrong, but I'm not going to be mean to you. But if you're mean, then it's like I was born to be mean back, and I will be meaner. And it's not anything I take pride in. It is not a virtue. It is absolutely a fault. It is a thorn in my side that I have been given to deal with for this life. But I'm saying this because I'm torn on Bruce Springsteen. He's not a jerk about it, but he almost is, right? Right? He's like not a jerk. He's not like Green Day, who's horrible, by the way, and their music makes people sterile. He's not like Green Day, but he's right up there. And also, shut up. Like, you want to talk about cosplaying as the working man? What has he been doing for his whole career? Right? I don't know. He's playing this event in Atlanta. Is Lizzo going to twerk at it? Remember, she was going to be there? Or she was at one event and she had her dancers and they were all there and it was just so family friendly. I don't know. Maybe they're going to lie and say Beyonce's going to show up and she'll never show up. That was also chef's kiss. They've already had 1.6 million Georgians cast their ballots already. Democrats are trying to pump up the early turnout in Georgia. According to AJC, he's headlining a Kamala Harris rally in Gwinnett County on Thursday. Is that really going to play well there? Who is she going after with Bruce Springsteen? Think about it.
Anybody with a pulse?
Who is she going after with Bruce Springsteen? I'm made of questions about this. I mean, isn't he Jersey number one?
Yes.
So does that play well down in Georgia? Where are my Georgians at? I just don't know if that plays well down there. Does it? I just feel like.
He was available.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's better than James Taylor. I don't know. I don't dislike Bruce Springsteen. There's like a song of his that I like. A song. It's not my jam. I'm not going to, you know, make fun of him or make fun of you for. Now, if he's mean, Katie bar the door. If he gets up there and says stupid stuff, then, oh my gosh. Yeah, let's have at it. But I don't know. It just is weird. Like, that's who you're using to go after. Okay. I don't know. Is she trying to get like what? Old white moderates? Is that who she's going after? I feel like at this point, if you're undecided, you're staying home. You're not actually going to go out and vote. If you're undecided at this point, your butt's staying home. Let's be real about it. I mean, how are you that unengaged? At some point, the responsibility falls on the shoulders of the voters. And those type of people, yes, you are not too damn busy to do that. I mean, for crying out loud, the founders ran entire farms and they took care of their family and their parents. And they didn't have the internet. They didn't have nothing. And they still did what they did and were aware of everything. I feel like, you know, maybe people can, you know, hop on online or watch the TV to kind of pay attention to some of the stuff happening out there. If you're undecided, WTF, why? There are times when I have to go somewhere and I can't carry and I don't want to be defenseless. And this is where Burn a Gun comes in. Burn a Gun is, I mean, it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats like 50 feet away, up to 50 feet away. It's a non-firearm firearm. There's no, it doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. That's inapplicable. It's illegal in all 50 states. There's no waiting period. They send it right to your front porch. One of my very good friends who lives in Washington, D.C. and works in the press has to rely on their Burn a Gun because even though they have a license, half of the places they go, they can't carry, and they've already had their car broken into twice, and they're not playing. They don't want to be made a statistic, and who would blame them? And they got a Burn a Gun. The Burn a SD is the most popular model, and you can choose different projectiles, different accessories, different colors, all kinds of stuff. But this is the most popular one. And when you compare it to a stun gun, stun guns only have one or two shots. The Burn a SD shoots has five round capacity. So to learn more about the Burn a Gun and diversify your defensive options, visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off your purchase. That's Byrna, BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Now, Chick-fil-A is releasing an app where they have their own family-friendly shows and podcasts. And I don't hate this, but can we stop with trying to make everyone and everything its own brand? I want to go to a place and just get a burger. I don't want to be messing around with your programming. I just want the burger. Yeah, or your chicken Sammy. I just want, or your tendies. That's all I want. I don't need like an app. I don't need any of this other stuff. I get it. Capitalism all day. Yay. But do you know what I mean? Like, I miss the days where you're like, oh, you're the chicken place? I just want to get chicken here. Thank you. Oh, you're the baker? I'm just going to get baked goods here. Thank you. Oh, here I can watch my family-friendly programming. Can't get my tendies here, but I can get family-friendly pro. You know what I mean? Like, I miss that. It was simpler then. Now everybody's got something going on. Am I being mean? Am I just being... I feel like I sound like I'm 120 right now. Sorry. All right. Yeah, they got like all... They've already had like animated shorts on YouTube and they got all kinds of... I mean, good for them. That's, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, do you. But they're going to have an app where they're going to have family-friendly shows and podcasts now. A woman on dialysis found a kidney donor at a bar. There's one way to pick people up. Two women in New York, they met at a tavern and one was in kidney failure. They were at the tavern on the mall. They met, and then that's where she found the lady, gave her kidney, donated it. They were asking patrons for help and blood types, and she shared the same blood type as her, and it just, yeah. They never met before. They live in a tiny town, too. Interesting. A three-year-old was scratched by a monkey inside of a Walmart, an emotional support monkey. There is no such thing. There's no such thing. Thank you. He got scratched. There was an Indiana Walmart store. I would have waylaid that thing. I have before. I told you this before. I got into a big fight. It was actually a monkey that came from the thing that was in Chimp Crazy. Not lying. It was a macaw monkey. Yeah, that's right. They said that the paperwork that the monkey had showed that it was actually dog registration. It wasn't even monkey. It wasn't even proper papers. Stick with us. Thank heavens for Hillsdale. I don't know what... People would be eating Tide Pods everywhere if it wasn't for Hillsdale. Hillsdale is one of the last educational institutions out there. They were founded in 1844 because they, like the founders, understand education is important to preserving liberty. I mean, if you don't know what you have, then how do you know how to preserve it? And that's one of the missions, that's their mission that they have actually on the battleground of ideas with education. And they've been helping people sharpen their understanding and deepen their knowledge to uphold our values in this republic. They have all kinds of free resources, so you don't have to be on their campus in Southern Michigan in order to take advantage of it. They have all kinds of like educational podcasts. They have their free speech digest in Primus. And they're also giving everybody a free pocket constitution. And by everybody, I mean literally a million people. You can go to Dana4, F-O-R, Hillsdale.com. Get Your Free Pocket Constitution. It's part of their initiative to spread awareness about our nation's core values. And if you have one, then get one for someone who doesn't. I'm sure you know someone who does not have a pocket constitution. It is for free. You just sign up. They don't sell your information. They just need to know where to send it. And then you receive it in the mail free of charge. To get your free copy of the pocket constitution, visit Dana4FORHillsdale.com and fill out the form. They'll mail it to you with free shipping. Offer won't last long. So grab your pocket constitution today at Dana4HillsdaleHillsdale.com.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. A little Cure Forest remix, one of the best remixes ever. You can find us on Substack as well, Chapter and Verse. I do suggest that you go sign up on that because there's a lot of good stuff, especially as we get closer to the election. We're less than 2 weeks out. I'll have context and on some of these issues. Piece went out yesterday. We got some stuff prepared also for this week. So lots of good stuff. And you can also find us Facebook and YouTube. We've got, you know, tons of videos, tons of content up there. Check out the podcast as well, Absurd Truth, which is kind of like a montage of like some of the hits from the program. So all good things. This and welcome back. Bottom of the second hour. I saw this video yesterday, and it was our chairman. I live in Tarrant County, Texas, and it was the chairman of our Tarrant County GOP. It's the largest red county in America and the largest urban red county in America, the last one. And there were people who were saying that they were experiencing problems when they went to vote, and they would go and they would select Trump on the screen on the digital part. And then when they would print the ballot, it had been changed to Harris. And they said there was one case where the voter was issued a new ballot to vote again. And that was confirmed in a text from a Tarrant County elections administrator who had said the ballot did have a vote for Harris, not Trump. It was spoiled and another ballot was issued and it had the correct vote. Only report of this happening today. Still waiting on other locations to finalize their numbers, including that one. But it looks like he was one out of 904 at that location and one out of 58,425 today. So it was one ballot. This is the video that I'm talking about. I had retweeted it. Watch this.
James Carpenter, I just voted in the Watts settlement election. I voted for one president, checked it on the video screen. When I got the paper ballot, it had the other candidate's name on it. Check your paper ballots, everybody.
Thank you, sir.
And you should always check your paper ballots. I always check my ballots. I double check. I look at it. I double check. I always look at it. Don't just like do it and then put it in there. Never. Now, this was one out of 58,425 ballots that were cast yesterday. One. So it's not a huge, it's not a massive widespread problem. But if there were more than one, I have a question. This is the county I live in. It is a Republican county. It is run by Republicans. The party that is in control of the county is the party that sets up the elections. They are the party that sets up the polling places. They make sure that there are poll workers. They get everything, including the voting machines, set up. They run the voting. They run the whole process day in and day out. So if it was a widespread issue, then it would be Republicans in charge of it. Now, I say that because before I moved to Tarrant County 14 years ago, I lived in St. Louis. And I didn't just live in St. Louis. I lived in downtown St. Louis. I could walk to Anheuser-Busch Brewery. It was literally like three blocks from me. I lived in that whole neighborhood. I was right by I-55, right by the Mississippi. I was in a historic part of the city. And it was Democrat ran. Democrat dominated. And it's like the, what is it, the first congressional district there. It was third, and then they got rid of the third after Russ Carnahan, and it became part of the first. It absorbed it. So they would have issues. There were a lot of issues around the city with voting. And it was Democrat run. I wasn't surprised at that. There were always problems. There was always something, always some machine down, but it was Democrat run. So I went from that to a super, like, the other end of the spectrum. I went from, like, you know, the DNC stronghold to the RNC stronghold. Never, it was never any issue. I've never had any issues with voting. And this was one out of that many. But I do think it provides an important lesson. Always check your ballot. That is your responsibility to check, like that gentleman in the video did. He checked it. He saw something was amiss. He brought it up with the overseers there at the polls, and it was corrected. And they did confirm that the incorrect vote was not counted. They had it struck. And these are Republicans that run this. So I can't, can you imagine, though, that happened in a Democrat area? I don't trust it getting fixed in a Democrat area. But that's why they ended up voting. That's why so many of these people vote Democrat, because they vote Democrat anyway. But I'm just saying, always check your ballot. Always check it, because you never know. There could be glitches. There are glitches. I think this was a glitch. If it was more than one out of 58,425 ballots yesterday, I think then there might be something amiss. But always, always check it. Kane is saying that you're all tinfoil, though. Because you're in
all tinfoil. You really do throw me under that tinfoil bus all the time. I'm just saying you're more generous than I am. I think that it's not just a glitch. I think that there's some intention behind it. And I think it's intended to look as though it's just a small thing, just a glitch.
Maybe.
That's all it is. But it's happening probably everywhere. And your advice still stands. I mean,
yeah.
Look at your paper ballot.
Well, Lorraine says she gets a paper ballot. She fills in the circle and feeds it through a reader. She doesn't know if the reader properly counts her vote, but she says at least there's a paper count paper ballot to count if there's an issue. The old machines have zero paper backup. I think in Texas you can tell, you can go back and you can enter in information and you can find out, you know, because you can see who's, if someone's voted or not, and you can like look it up. Texas makes it super easy. I got it. I got state on my phone. I know. So I'm just saying, I always double and triple check stuff. Have you noticed too, this is my favorite thing about voting, when you're standing in line to go vote, as you get in, do you know how people get like real, like not like aggressive or anything, but they're like going to go perform this sacred action, right? Like they're going, like they're going into a holy vestibule. They're going to go cast a vote. And it's kind of funny. And people would always say, don't take, well, they have signs you can't take. I get real nervous about things not matching. So I want a screenshot of what happened and then what's on my ballot so I can compare in case there's any kind of argument. That's me. I always like to have like double backup, triple backup. But it's very interesting. Then people go, and everybody, I'm one of the people that's like, I must have the sticker. Are you a sticker person?
I haven't gotten it every time. But
I've been like this since I was 18 years old.
I realized the last time I voted in the local election, that I grabbed a sticker, put it in my pocket, then I went home and put it on my dresser, and I realized I already had another sticker there. So I clearly don't care about the stickers.
Well, I'll say this too. It was funny because when we moved here to Texas, it was in 2013. And then I think it was 14 where it was midterm elections. I could have voted in Missouri and Texas because Missouri messed up and tried to send me. Yeah, I corrected it because I'm an honest person. But there was 1% of me that was like, why don't you go back to Missouri and vote? It was one little devil right there. And it was like, why don't you go back? I'm not going to lie. It was, you know, I corrected it. I did, because I'm an honest person. I corrected it. But I noticed that some people's stickers in their area, I like looking at the stickers that people get, because some people's precincts are like really fancy. Have you noticed this? Like this one person said they had special stickers for the first day of voting, another set of special stickers for the first week of voting. And then you get like a different sticker if you voted the day of. Like, what is with that? Like, because I am the person motivated. Some of you like this, are like this, share this trait with me by stickers. So the book it thing, the Pizza Hut book it thing back in school, I just did it for the stickers, man. I did it for the stickers and the pizza. Give me a book, I'll read it. I did it all for the stickers. The what? The stickers. The what? I did it all, like more than the pizza. I wanted to have the most stickers by my name on the chart. That is what, that kind of stuff motivates me. Oh, and I did. Like I had so many, they had to put an extra piece of paper because I just kept going. And I got the pizza party, but then I was like, I don't want to invite any of you damn kids to my pizza party. It's all my pizza. I invited like four friends. I was like, screw you all. Y'all didn't help me in this. It's like the meme of the mom that made a big feast for Thanksgiving, but she just wanted a picture of her with the food. And she's like, nah, none of y'all help. I was like, I'm not going to invite any of y'all fools to my pizza party. Only four of y'all can come. But I'm just saying, I we don't have them fancy stickers. We just have the I voted. And those are nice. Like, don't, you know. But I'm just saying, like, how do you get your precinct? Do you just like have to tell your precinct, can we invest in some like fancier stickers? Like, why do they got to be so twee? Like, I want them to be. So we have this thing here. I'm going to get back to the meat and potatoes of it. How many of you out there know what a Texas mom is? Kane, you know what a Texas mom is?
Yeah.
Juan, you know what a Texas mom is? Oh, yeah. Steve, do you know what a Texas mom is? Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine Steve at a homecoming week? Seeing some of these moms, it is ridiculous. So let me, Texas moms, it's not a flower. And I'm going to bring this all to, I'm going to bring this tugboat to shore. So bear with me. It's not a flower. It's a thing that I discovered that they do here in Texas. And it is a big tradition. And so the boys get one and the girls get a different, the boy, it's not, when you go to homecoming, you don't just get a corsage. The boys get an armband that's a little mom, and the girls get a big giant mom. And it started out as like a homemade, like little flower that they would wear. And then it turned into where they add bells and whistles and lights. And it is as big as the girls. Now it is a big thing. And if you're a senior in high school and you're a girl, then it has to reflect your seniority status, right? And sometimes the biggest ones are so obnoxious. And the girls, they only wear them for 1 week. They don't wear them to the dance. They only wear them for 1 week. And they are completely over the top. And they wear them all week. And it's like a sign of, and you wear them if you've been asked to homecoming. The boys got to get the girls, the moms, and the girls get the boys their arm corsages. And it's just, and we got a couple pictures. It is very much a Texas thing. And yeah, we've had to do the mom thing. And they are not cheap. If you, now what Juan is showing you, oh yeah, she's probably a senior because hers is bigger than her. This is normal. This is normal here. This is what all these girls wear. It's normal. She's a senior because she has all light colors and they usually wear like silver or pastels and it's like as big as they are. They go wear that all week. They don't wear it to the dance, but they wear it to the homecoming game and that concludes it. And then, you know, they don't wear them anymore. And then they have like trinkets on them. Like if they're in cheer, if they're in a sport, has their initials on it. Some people go really over the top. The reason I bring this up is because why can't my I voted sticker be like that? I'm just saying, I want it big and gaudy. I'm a maximalist. I do not allow the phrase, and I'm only going to break my rule once to say it, to illustrate it for you. I do not believe in less is more. More is more. And I just want a big, giant sticker that says I voted. If it has lights on it, that's great. I mean, can we do like an in-app purchase? I don't know. Like, is there a way? I just want something big and obnoxious. You know, because I know, especially if people around town see me and know who I am, and if they see that I voted, they can feel sad because I just canceled out their progressive vote. And I want that to come through in my giant, obnoxious Texas mom size I voted sticker. Is that too much to ask? Yeah. See, I feel like I'm asking for something small. I'm not asking for a lot. I feel like what Charlie Brown's little sister, Sally. I'm just asking for what is owed to me. I'm just asking for my share. Just saying. We got a lot more on the way, folks, as we roll towards. Oh, we got Florida Man coming up.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I don't want to open this link. Oh my gosh. You know what it is? Don't give me these stories.
Why?
Oh, a Florida man was jailed for punching a dog in the face and hanging her from the leash. And it was, oh no, I don't want to watch it. Oh my gosh, don't show me the stupid autoplay. Donald Arthur Stickens III, 24, S-T-I-C-K-E-N-S, Donald Arthur of Martin County, entered the hallway of an apartment hanging a 9-year-old golden retriever from a leash before punching her in the head and body several times. And this isn't the first time. The dog was seized, thankfully, but the dog endured compromised airway due to hanging by the leash, had blunt force trauma from 6 blows to the head. Humane Society of the Treasure Coast took the dog. She was returned to Stickens Girlfriend, who told deputies she's no longer in contact. He was arrested and charged with felony animal cruelty on $55,000 bond. He's also behind bars for drug charges and tampering with evidence. And I volunteer. I will pay my own way. I'll deal with him for you. I will do it for free on behalf of Florida taxpayers. I'll supply all of my own tools and implements. I'm not saying what would happen. I'm just saying, you know.
Tools.
Yeah. I'll take care of that for free for Floridians. Happily I will. A man was arrested after he impersonated a security guard to get into a Taylor Swift concert. Good night. He was arrested and accused of trying to gain entrance into her concert that she held at Hard Rock Stadium. 44-year-old Ivan Mariotti has been charged with falsely impersonating an officer and interference with a sporting or entertainment event. And Miami-Dade police said they were notified about 8:30 p.m. by actual security that there was a guy. It was this dude dressed in a suit wearing a badge over his neck. And he was trying very, very hard to look legit. And he he said he was hired by 4 women to work as a security guard, and he escorted them onto the property into their seats. And he said he did not have a ticket. He got into the venue because he was part of security. He claimed to work for Saint Security, and his story kept changing. And they asked him to name his clients, and they spoke with 2 women who said their aunt hired them a driver for the evening, but they said that she did not know why their driver had a badge, and she had a driver, not a security guard, and so he was placed in correction. He's still there. He's on 1500 bond, but he's on an immigration hold because he's an Italian national. So I don't know. That seems sus, right? It's weird. Why you got to be doing that? Like, I don't know. I don't know. Let's see. A Florida woman was arrested for instructing a child to murder an infant through Roblox.
What?
Jeez. 36-year-old woman was arrested. She was engaged in aggravated child abuse. She instructed a 10-year-old to drop a 2-month-old on a solid tiled floor in an attempt to kill the baby. They were contacted by the Gulf Coast Kids House authorities were, after a 2-month-old infant suffered serious injuries after the 10-year-old dropped him on the floor. They said the 10-year-old was communicating with the woman through Roblox. Oh my gosh. I'm telling you what, this is crazy. They said they've never seen anything like this, according to the law enforcement, and it was truly disturbing. And unfortunately, they said the 10-year-old did follow up on it. And so they arrested this woman. She's, you know, going to be in the pokey for a while, but good night. Horrifying. Watch what your kids do. Stick with us.
The notion over the last several years coming from Trump and those who follow him, meaning people like who he's running with, not his voters, but just others. The notion that the measure of the strength of a leader is based on who you beat down is just wrongheaded.
Hmm. She really wanted to get nasty there.
Yeah.
She stopped herself. She was really, really thinking about it. And then she stopped herself and she didn't go all the way. Didn't go all the way there. Interesting. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. And we've gone over some of the polling, the state of the race, the left still freaking out over McDonald's. Oh, there's another piece. You know, the one that Brian Stelter at CNN was saying doesn't exist. This is literally what they tweeted. This is a piece last night. Quote, "He doesn't seem to know how to do it. After Donald Trump served fast food during a campaign stop at McDonald's, several actual McDonald's workers who examined a video of his performance earned mixed reviews from workers and patrons alike." What? Like, actually, like that those workers were fake workers there? Then they had this paragraph. Ready? "When it was time to bag the order, he asked a woman at the drive-thru what they did when a customer wanted more salt. 'I love salt,' he said, as he shook some onto golden potatoes. Then, after spilling some, he paused to throw some over his shoulder in a nod to superstition, a seconds-long gesture that would have been most likely unappreciated by efficiency-loving managers had Mr. Trump been any other employee.
Is that real?
This is a real, I'm reading from it. It is a real thing. But I thought that the right was extending this. I thought it was the right that was like making this a big deal. And it's the left that keeps running these stupid stories. Oh my gosh, he wasted like salt. What? Jesus, stupid. This is also dumb. I think once you've made your mind up that you dislike someone, everything they do, you will find fault with it. Can you believe he wore an apron at McDonald's? Can you believe that he was at McDonald's? Can you believe he wore an apron at McDonald's? Can you believe he put salt in the fry? Can you believe he stir fry? Can you believe it? It just never ends. They've just made it up in their mind to hate him. And they, I mean, this is not a Zapruder film, but they're acting like it is. Now, let's watch the way he shakes the salt onto the golden potatoes. Look how he wears the apron. I mean, they just go, it's just so over the top. Why? I mean, I don't, who are these people that they got to do that, to do this? Like, are they disputing the number? They're approximately X amount of fries per carton. And we know Trump sucks at his job because he did not have X amount of fries per carton. He actually gave them more fries. Oh no, gave them more fries. Someone made a point about the image that, so there was an image that somebody shared on social media Sunday where it said, I ordered a 6-piece and Donald Trump gave me 7. Like, you know, and then they had the hands together like, bless. And then there were people on X, leftists on X going, can you believe Donald Trump was wasting chicken nugget to give this person a 7th nugget? These are the people that are bitching and moaning about paying fast food workers $11 trillion an hour, but now they're mad because someone got an extra nugget. Shut up. Who are you people? Golly. Can you believe that he gave him a whole extra tendy?
He paid for it, so what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, shut up. It was great. They got free advertising like nobody's business, McDonald's did. And McDonald's was so clever with their response, the media can't get mad at them. So now they're like getting up. Can you imagine? Can you imagine getting the call? Hello, yes. We're the New York Times, and we would like you to analyze Donald Trump's performance at the Fryer. In this video from McDonald's. Can you go on record to do that? I guess so. I mean, I'm not a manager at McDonald's. Yeah, if you could just come on record. We just need someone from McDonald's to just crap all over Trump being at McDonald's. Can you do that? Who's using who here? The media was mad. AOC's mad. She's like, he's making fun of you. Who's making fun of McDonald's workers? Dangling money, and for dangling money, you're the one who's like, let's give them $50,000 an hour. You're the one who dangles money in front of people. Golly, they literally do everything that they are accused, that they accuse everybody else of doing. That's what it all is. I cannot believe they're still going on about this. My gosh, it's still trending. Oh, that's when you know that it was really successful. I mean, just think about the number of raw assets they got from this. Think about it. I mean, isn't there an old commercial of Donald Trump with at McDonald's? Mm-hmm. Didn't they do a commercial with him like back in the early aughts?
Yeah.
I mean, amazing execution on this. Just think about this. The amount of photos that they got for advertising. How long was he there? You could not buy this much in advertising. This would be millions of dollars to purchase in advertising. McDonald's not walking away from this. And Kamala Harris is the one who did it. She was the one who wanted to act like she was the valedictorian of working at McDonald's. Yeah, they're mad. That's how you know it was very successful. It was a very successful campaign event because of this. So a few other things. People are mad because Elon Musk is giving away $1 million to people in battleground states that signed this election pledge. And they're very upset. And I also think, too, that I agree with what's been said before, that nobody had a problem with big tech until Elon Musk. Nobody on the left had a problem with big tech until Elon Musk backed Trump. Oh, Democrats loved Jack Dorsey. They were all over Zuck. Oh, they loved them some big tech. Big tech. They loved it. Oh my gosh, Elon Musk comes out and he backs Trump and now they're all losing their minds. It's crazy. Kamala Harris is one who's very upset about it. Audio send by three. She wants to look into Musk for rewarding battle state voters with $1 million if they sign his petition about elections. Listen.
So Elon Musk is giving away $1 million a day to voters who sign a petition. Do you have concerns about that in the context of law? You know, this is a legal framework around elections. And secondly, a Reuters investigation has shown something like 300 cases of political violence already in the run-up to the election. Just address what can be done and what the federal government can do to push back against that.
Well, on the first point, I think people are looking into that. On the second point...
When you say people, do you mean the U.S. government?
I mean, I hear that folks are looking into it just based on the stuff you all are reporting.
The thing is, though, is that nothing that he's doing is illegal. Nothing. I mean, he's getting people are, he's not even registering people to vote. They're signing a petition on election. That's the only thing. I mean, what's weird is that Democrats, I mean, if you want to have an investigation into impropriety, maybe look at Kamala Harris as the head of the border gun violence prevention, working with the city of Chicago and the ATF and colluding with them to go after a company, Glock. I mean, there's a million things. They always, like I said, they always accuse their opponents of everything that they're guilty of. Hold up. Let me show you this headline. This is from The Hill. Former Obama advisor. We know that Trump is going to try to steal the election. Actual headline.
How do they know that? What do they got?
I don't know. I mean, I don't understand their point. They're saying, well, you know that Trump is going to try to steal the election. So it's like they're saying if they lose, then the election is stolen. Is that what they're saying? Because that's what Democrats always do. When they lose, they can't believe it's because someone rejected them. It has to be because it was stolen. They tell themselves this to cope. I mean, would that be election denial? Golly, is this an insurrection? I feel like they're trying to incite an insurrection. Just saying. I thought election denial was a threat to democracy or something like that, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That's what. So they're just setting it out there right now. It's Jim Messina who did it. Jim Messina, I always thought looked like an animatronic thing. He always looked like he could have been an extra from Small Wonder, that show in the 80s where it was a little girl. Like he could have like easily walked on to that set and just been a part of the cast as like another robot. But he had said, everybody's talking about November 5th. He said this on MSNBC last night. He said that they're concerned that Trump is going to try to steal the election. How in the world is he? That's so stupid. Why are people saying this stupid stuff? Shut up. He's going to try to steal the election. Oh, I feel like the SpongeBob meme. Like, why? Why? Stop. Who does that? These guys do. He's going to try to steal the election. Based on what knowledge? They don't know. They don't know. They don't have anything. They're just not liking what it's looking like. That's the truth of the matter. I mean, literally, I told you, I started off the show with how there's a headline right now over the Hill. What if Joe Biden was the better candidate all along? They're having serious buyer's remorse. It looks real bad, Kane. The buyer's remorse. It looks pretty bad. Well, yeah, I'm sure it feels real bad. Not my problem, though, is that it's not our problem. Oops. Not our circus, not our monkeys. Sorry. I mean, I can't believe you're taking the day off. She needs to be in these swing states. She should be in these swing states for sure. And she's not. I don't know where she's off today. I don't know. She's not even here today. She's out. Where did she go? Where does she take time off at? She's taking a break from the campaigning. That's all we know. And this is after the media has worked with her. Democrats are bracing for the collapse of their blue wall. Not just cracks, but a collapse. I told you this yesterday. There's a new piece over at NBC. They said that it could be an anomaly, but they're saying that the blue wall is breaking away and they're trying to just sort of figure out what's going on. They said that there's the thought maybe Michigan or Wisconsin will fall off. And they're, you know, obviously they're concerned. They said that they're preparing, they're trying to fight for Georgia, but they're very worried about Michigan. I'm telling you, this, it's looking rough for them right now. I don't know. There's a shift underway. I think Democrats are feeling the realignment, because you have Latino voters that are breaking more for Republicans, building up on even the 2020 and 2016 gains, Black voters as well. And the fact that I don't know that I've ever, it's weird for me to watch this for maybe some of the people out there who are like maybe young millennials or Gen Z. It's weird to watch an election where Democrats are talking about losing Michigan. Michigan. It's been a Democrat stronghold for, I don't know how long. And also Wisconsin, not just one, but two. There's a realignment happening right now. The dust will take some time to settle, but there's a real realignment underway, and they know it. They feel it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, here's a big old long headline and a weird old story. Here you go. Ready? Tulsa. Suspect flees police while clutching a snake and then was later found with drugs and cash. Tulsa Police Department said early Thursday morning of last week, a suspect led officers on a pursuit. They were trying to arrest a guy who was clutching a python. The officers pulled the car over and spoke to the driver, who would not provide them with identification or insurance. And he said he was traveling. He had a headlight out, and he said that wasn't a crime, except, you know, that kind of, you can get a ticket for it. And he held a small python during the stop. And they said it wasn't a threatening situation, but they're like, that was weird. Why are you driving literally with a snake, like holding a snake? It's not, you know, like an actual physical, like reptile. Like, why? And then he drove off, led police on a short chase to a nearby home, bailed out, tried running away while holding the snake. They arrested him, took him to the ground, arrested him. They found, 92 grams of fentanyl, lots of cash. He was arrested for eluding, because he's a convict, and so he's got felony convictions. Trafficking fentanyl, drug possession, obstruction, resisting arrest, operating a vehicle with no headlights, no driver's license, no insurance. And the snake was okay, but he was released to a friend. And they don't know if it's sad, if it experienced any anguish. Can't believe it's an actual headline that I have, but it's true. It's Tulsa man's giving Florida man a run for their money. Let's see. Oh, I am not reading this one. We'll talk about the car going airborne. So this is in Torrance, since it's California, an out-of-control car. This is Southern California. Went airborne, flew through a fence at a high school in Torrance Saturday afternoon, landing right next to a football field mid-game. It was a Jeep, flew through the air, landed upright on the track, right by where the game was on the field. And they said the next thing people heard was a thud, thud, and then a boom, and then they saw the fence from the high school gone and a Jeep there. Wow. The video shows the driver's legs are tied up before he's getting taken away in a stretcher. So, my goodness. It's neither the driver nor anybody in the field sustained any other, like, injuries. So, good heavens. The world's oldest paperboy retires at the age of 82, 7 decades into the job. He says there's nothing else left to achieve. Good for him. See? All tall dignity and work. We got a lot more on the way here at the bottom of this third hour. Stick with us.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you here at the bottom of this third hour. And we make sure you find us over on Substack, Chapter and Verse, the newsletter, X Rumble, which is having major issues with their streaming thing right now. I don't know what's going on, or they have like ads that pop up and it freezes the whole thing, and it's in their model, and there's really nothing that we can do. They got to fix it. So that's what's, if you were catching us on that, the simulcast of the radio program, that's what was happening. So a couple of things here. I'm going to get into the issue with the collusion. It's a big thing with Harris. And this story about going after X. Because there's a very damning thread today on X. And it was published shortly before we went to air. And it's these documents that look at how the Labour Party in Britain has been working to kill Musk's Twitter, is the direct quote, through, quote, advertising focus, meaning going after and just harassing his advertisers, right? And they said that it's weird because it's this is something you would think would be in China, Russia. It said it's Britain. It's crazy. So they have the Internal Center for Countering Digital Hate, and it shows that their annual objective is to kill Musk's Twitter. That's literally written out just like that. And they want to trigger regulatory action, even though they're supposed to be a tax-exempt nonprofit. And it gets, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there. They get a lot of money from Hollywood. Selena Gomez is a big donor. There's a ton of receipts, a lot of information. But all of this because he, especially as it relates to illegal immigration, he just won't bend the knee to it. He's not going to bend the knee. And so as a result, they're this is just one of the things. And this is something that the Harris campaign has flirted with. I mean, I don't even know what they would try to, if we lost the House and Democrats took over, say Republicans kept the Senate, but we lose the House, say we were to lose the White House. Oh my gosh. You're going to be able, yeah, the House is going to pull whatever spending package through and they're going to browbeat Republicans because it wouldn't be a huge majority that Republicans would have, but they would browbeat Republicans into supporting whatever. I mean, it's just going to be a disaster. So that's, you know, something to keep in mind. Of course, they're still arguing over McDonald's. Tim Walz was on with The View this morning. He's a Marxist. Can we just be, I don't think I've ever been less of a fan of somebody than I am Tim Walz, because I think he really is unaccomplished. I think that he seems like a dummy, but he is a lot more insidious than he comes off. And I think his shtick is breaking. He keeps saying the same stuff over and over again. And for someone who acts like he's such an everyman, he really doesn't have a lot to show for it. But he was on The View because this is their favorite place. Harris goes on The View. Walz is on The View now. He was on The View and he's very mad that Republicans did the McDonald's thing. Listen.
She actually worked in a McDonald's. She didn't go and pander and disrespect McDonald's workers by standing there in your red tie and take a picture.
How did she? Well, first off, that wasn't disrespectful, but it is disrespectful to claim that you worked there when you didn't. There's no evidence that she worked there at all whatsoever. No proof. No evidence. This is what gets me. The New York Times is like, well, Donald Trump claims without evidence that Kamala Harris didn't work there. Kamala Harris claims without evidence that she worked there. Gotta believe Kamala. What settles that disagreement? Someone saying that she didn't work there and someone saying that she did work there. What settles that disagreement? Who knows? Showing that she worked there. She's not going to do it. They're just mad because they didn't think of the stunt first. Remember the stunt they did where she went to get Doritos? She acted like she was so used to going on road trips. And they went and got Doritos and it was so awkward. It was so staged. So not demure. It was so staged. And they acted like it was like this completely, you know, what's not a stunt? Look, she's just like, oh, she likes Doritos. And then what did she say? Oh, it's the original. And she looks at the package. Nacho cheese. The original nacho cheese. Thanks, Doug. And then Tim Walz is like, I found him too. But Kane brings up a point, and I have this in my notes. It wasn't one journalist that couldn't find her work history. And it wasn't two journalists. It was actually three. And then there are journalists at other outlets. So you have a handful of journalists who were not able to find her work history. They were able to find that Mitt Romney cut some kid's hair when he was 12, but they couldn't find Kamala Harris's work history. Yep. Right? They know everything about Donald Trump's life, but they couldn't find Kamala Harris's work history. They know everything about J.D. Vance. They couldn't find Kamala's work history. It's weird how they can never find anything about the Democrats, right? Unless you're a Democrat like Eric Adams, who criticizes them over immigration. Oh, then all of a sudden they start finding stuff on you. Fascinating. No, there's zero proof that she... No, she could. I mean, Social Security, you know, FICA and all that. But, you know, it. Look, don't get mad that people are talking about it. Get mad that she brought it up and made it an issue. If she didn't want it discussed, then she shouldn't have brought it up and made it an issue. Don't get mad at the people who talk about it because she brought it up and made it an issue. It's all her. This is what happens when you just tell the damn truth. You don't have to lie. Oh, I work the fries. I work those. She's just mad because she got outmaneuvered. And now she's taking a day off. Taking a day off. I mean, it's stunning. It really is.
2 weeks now.
Yeah. We're less than, fewer than 2 weeks away. And yet, here we are. A couple of other things to get into. So we were talking about the souls to the polls. And couple of other things. Harris isn't the only one who was talking about the Musk stuff, too. By the way, Josh Shapiro out of Pennsylvania was also. Take a look at the voter payments. They're very upset because Musk, he's not telling people and paying them to vote Republican. He's saying, if you sign my pledge about election integrity, here you go. If you live in a battleground state, you have a chance to win $1 million. And he's awarded two of the every day. So two people have gotten it so far. What about the fully forgivable loans only to Black Americans? What about the billions of dollars in student loan debt? What about the $25,000 if you're a home buyer, first-time home buyer? What about all that? I mean, you're literally paying people off. You're paying them to vote for you. If you're going to sit here and talk about Musk, who's not even, he's just talking about upholding election integrity, then you got to talk about all this stuff, too, and you have to look at all of this. I mean, you have one candidate who's literally saying, yes, free college at the expense of everybody else. But free college, it's entirely that. I mean, you're getting money. You're feeling, and this is the candidates that are doing it. This is not some surrogate that's doing it. It's Harris and Biden doing it. So they're targeting Haley holdouts, too, apparently. This, I don't know what, somebody said that Nikki Haley had liked a post that Ivanka Trump put up, and maybe that's an end to the cold relations between her and Trump. I don't know. But they've been apparently trying to make inroads with the Nikki Haley faction. I just look at it like this. If you're so hell-bent on not supporting Trump, don't cast a vote for Harris. If you are hell-bent on not voting Trump, then you are better off voting down ticket and not voting for Harris. Voting Republican down ticket and not voting for Harris. If you're one of those people who cannot be prevailed upon. But there's a difference. And I was talking to a friend of mine who was trying to, their spouse was one who was, I guess you could say, is a part of the Nikki Haley faction. She is not, but the spouse is. And she was saying, you know, trying to, you know, convince her husband, look, you know, at least leave it blank. Don't vote for Haley. Don't be like one of those. And I always thought he was a moderate myself, but that's me. Anyway, but if you're one of those people, then just don't vote Nikki Haley. Kamala Harris, anything. Don't vote for Kamala Harris because you're voting to advance a particular set of policies that are in direct opposition to everything that you claim to support. And I don't know how you can still call yourself a Republican or say that you're even on the right if you're actively voting for a set of policies that conflict with everything that you say you support. You're not advancing your agenda. You're advancing their agenda by doing that. I mean, at least by, you know, if you can't vote for Trump, at least by not having it filled in. At least you're not advancing Harris. I mean, still, I think it just comes down to principle, because you're still, you're not deducting a vote from her. You're not helping him, but you're not deducting a vote from her. But if you're actually voting to endorse those policies, you're not on the right. If you think that your policies are best defined by someone's name on a ticket, then I question how seriously devoted you are to those policies. If you don't see politicians as anything more than tools on the board, chess pieces on the board, then I kind of question the devotion to policies. You know, failed people can be used to bring about perfect ideas. Imperfect people can be used to bring about perfect results. And, you know, if you don't believe that, then I guess you've never sat through a church sermon or read any part of the Bible. I'm just saying. But I just don't get that. I don't get the people that are so hell-bent. I get people mad at me. Every now and then I get people very angry at me about this that are supposedly on our side. And there have been a couple of like, oh, I'm going to vote. I'm just voting for Harris. I'm like, well, then you're not, you don't believe these things. You're not pro Second Amendment. You're not pro-life. You're not, you know, pro-American as a priority. You're not pro-border security. You're not pro any of this. So I don't understand their whole, I don't get it. I just feel like you're just, you want to be a leftist and you're just trying to find a way to make it acceptable. Is that fair to say? Because it feels like that.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized informative episodes, perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. And this early vote tally, I think the Wall Street Journal has a piece. They said Republicans are eating into Democrats' early voting advantage. If Republicans are beating Democrats with early voting, and this is a place where Democrats have really always shone, they've always shined, that signals to me that there's a lot of enthusiasm on the right. Do you see any enthusiasm on the left? I see anger. I don't see joy. Nope. I see anger, hatred, loathing, fear-mongering, race-baiting. But I don't see any enthusiasm. Nothing's exciting them. Anger is not enthusiasm. There's no joy in anger. And I just don't know if that's going to be enough to get them, out, to get Democrats out. I mean, I'm looking at it. Everybody's scouring it for clues. 50 million people have already voted in person. Are cast in mail-in ballots, 5.3 million in seven swing states. It's a University of Florida's election lab. 47%, they are saying that the early voting, this has been, Republicans are starting to catch up to Democrats in this. That's impressive. 47% of the early votes cast by Democrats, 33% like by Republicans. That is actually a huge number for Republicans compared to previous. Not even kidding. Democrats accounted for 49% of return ballots, 31% for GOP voters. 4 years ago, it was 52-24 in favor of Democrats. I mean, it's always kind of been that. Republicans have not been, they've never had really big numbers with early voting. This is very significant. The University of Florida, they do the early voting numbers for the election lab. They said that there is a huge shift in how Republicans are casting their ballots. It's more, they are right now thinking that it might be more of a shift in how Republicans vote so much as opposed to party performance, but I don't know. A lot of the Republicans who have voted are high propensity voters. Obviously, they've made up their minds. That's true. I mean, that's true with any, that's not changed with any early voting, you know. There's Democrats' advantage has dissipated. in this. And that's very significant. Because the people, I mean, in early voting, those are the high propensity. Those are the people, your most motivated voters, your base. Your base is going to, a significant portion of your base is already going to have voted by the time Election Day comes out. But then you have, you know, your stalwarts who want to vote on Election Day. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just think, and the reason I hold this position is because I want it only to be on one day. And I just feel like if Republicans just outplay Democrats at this, Democrats are going to finally agree with this and make it all on one day, too. Today's stupidity came.
Oh, it is our fear-mongering vice president-to-be, at least he hopes. This is Tim Walz. Now, apparently, if government doesn't buy school buses and school meals, they'll buy prison buses and prison meals. Listen to...
What?
Yeah, no, this is what he said.
Couple that with, you know, early childhood, couple that with paid family medical leave or whatever, and the philosophy we have, and this is what I know Kamala agrees in, you're either going to buy... school buses and school meals are prison buses and prison meals. It makes more sense to vote on the front
just
end.
Enforce the
it's
law.
Always one or the other. Like, that's such a false choice. It's so stupid. But it's Tim Walz. Folks, that does it for us today. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. I will be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.